And a good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board. Appreciate you being with us here on a Friday afternoon. And yeah, it is finally Friday. You made it. All right. Yeah, looking forward to the weekend. Going to be a nice one. And appreciate you being with us this afternoon on the afternoon drive. If you got a prayer request, praise report, you've got something going on with the traffic, or you got a question for today's Friday, if you got a question you'd like to field, make sure you text it to us, 577-1296, and our area code's 828. If you don't text or you're driving and can't text, then you can call us. And you call us by dialing 828-884-9427, 828-884-9427. We'll look forward to hearing from you this afternoon. I'm Pastor Randy Barton, and this is live radio here on AM 720, 94.9 FM, and WGCR.net. Thank you for being with us, and thank the Lord again for His goodness and for His grace. Well, if you have not heard, today we've been telling that Brother Brian Coates, his sister, 31 years of age, two children, she contracted COVID. She went to her lungs. She was very sick. They put her on a ventilator. They scheduled to bring her off the ventilator yesterday down in Alabama. And he was looking forward to Skyping with her and being able to talk with her. And her heart just gave out. And she died. And so I got the call yesterday after prayer time. And so our heart goes out to Brother Brian, to his mom and dad, and to his older sister, and of course to her husband and to the two children, I think 8 and 4, I believe that there are their ages, a little girl, a little boy. Yeah, we're heartbroken for them. And, you know, we're trying not to put so much emphasis on COVID. I mean, everybody's trying to. But I think people know that, you know, it's deadly or can be. And somebody said, well, how do you know? 31. I mean, well, that's been one of the big issues, is that in many cases, there's no rhyme nor reason. You know, there's no rhyme or reason as to why some, and particularly in the young people's category, not, I mean, 28-year-old fireman, you know, did rescues during the flood, 28 years old, died of COVID. So, you know, it's tough. And so our hearts go out to Brother Brian's family. They sure do. Sure do. May God help him. Give him grace. Yeah, give them grace. And, Brian's never lost someone close like this in his family. And so it's first death they've ever had like this. And so please remember him. Of course, he's our morning announcer. He pastors the Arrington Branch Baptist Church in Madison County. And so pray the Lord will give them the grace that they will need. And pray that God will intervene, okay? Would you do that? And we will appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, let me say again, appreciate the mercy of the Lord. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. And appreciate God's mercy and grace here on a Friday. Let's see if we can get you where you're going. Man, you have never seen so many wrecks in all your life. We've got them everywhere. We got traffic issues, okay? So we've got wrecks. We have got a variety of things, and I'm using a new map that I'm not used to and that I don't particularly like, but anyway, I that's what's up. And so let me just share with you, the slowdown starts at Fletcher on I-26 westbound, and I'm understanding that there is, okay, so that icon must not be a wreck. That must not be a wreck icon. It must just be a trying to figure out what it is. I think it is a slowdown. Okay, a slowdown icon. So let me see if I can tell you where we are today. Rather than saying from here to here to here, let me just say it this way. I-26 westbound, you're going to be a good 20-minute wait okay, to go from point A to point B longer than normal. Okay, 20-minute delay, I-26 westbound. Coming out of town, it's slow in there in the split road before the parkway. Moderate traffic elsewhere, and it comes onto the airport. If you are in the junction westbound, it's basically stopped. Okay, I-40 westbound. I'm trying to pick up this new. It's going to take you about 13 minutes longer than usual to go through that section of road from I-26 over to around mile marker 43. This slowdown's about a 13-minute delay. Okay, I'm going to try this, see how it works. These delays, you know, based in minutes rather than telling you what the roads are doing. Coming down from UNCA this afternoon, you've got off the pace. We got slow traffic on the bridge down from the exit all the way down on coming on to the bridge. You've also some backup up into town now from that slowdown and from that delay. Let's see what else here. If we're looking at I-40 from Highway 25A, which is Sweeten Creek West, they're off the pace through there this afternoon, and it's moderate traffic westbound there. So it is a Friday afternoon. If you're coming on 25 South, okay, 25 South, you're looking at about a 7-minute delay. If you're coming on Sweeten Creek Road South, you are looking at about a 7-minute delay. And if you're coming north on Sweeten Creek, you're looking at about a 5-minute delay. Okay? 5-minute delay. All right. So if you're on 191 this afternoon, 11-minute delay coming south. And if you are heading, well, that's just part of it, okay? So that's just the first leg. So it's 11-minute delay waiting in there before you get to Clayton Road and then out there toward the intersection of 191 and 146. You're going to encounter up to a 6-minute delay right through there, okay? So that's what we know. 112's looking pretty good. Mills River's fine. I don't see any issues there. Everything else looks to be halfway decent. We'll see as we go west here. There is another slowdown, I-40 westbound, and it's in the big curve. Sometimes if there's a lot of tractor trailers in the slow lane, it'll cause that to turn red right through there. And actually the fast lane will be running pretty good, but those slow tractor trailers cause the average speed of everything traveling west to drop. Same thing at the weigh station. Sometimes I can see the weigh station, and it's because those trucks are stopped, and so it drops the average speed of that lane way down, and it can't distinguish between the two. So it's just part of it. If you're going to Gatlinburg this weekend, yeah, it's already busy. Busy on 411 coming in. If you come in that way, if you're coming in from 40, yeah, it's already busy before you get into it's pretty slow coming into Gatlinburg. And then in Pigeon Forge itself, let's see here, you're looking at about a 6-minute delay on 411 North, and you're looking at about an 11-minute delay on the parkway going into just before you get to Dollywood in there, okay? Yeah, and we got delays. Kingston Pike, there's a variety of things. It's Friday afternoon. It's a busy time. All right, let me see if I can pull that one down and pick up the one that I. Here we go, and give you some temperatures right quick. 62 is what we're showing. Everybody else seems to be a little warmer than that. Everybody, well, most people. Bavard says they got 66, but I don't know what time that reading was. 5:08, they said. Okay, they call it valid time. Well, all right, we'll take it. Gein Farm is 66. Hendersonville looks like. Flat Rock is 63. That's more in line what we have at 62. And the airport said at 4:54 they had 65. Humidity at 54%, so that real dry air we had over last weekend gave way to that rain yesterday, and this the humidity levels are back a little more what we're used to. So 65 in Asheville, drop that down to Greenville and to Greenville Spartanburg, and you're talking about a big difference today. So 65 at Asheville, and there's a full 10 degrees difference in Greenville. GSP is at 75, and Asheville's at 65, 10-degree differential today. And that's a little more than usual. Yeah, it sure is. Well, let's look and see what's the big deal coming up. What's the next thing to be watching? Well, it's not a bad forecast, but the word rain is mentioned. Okay, so we're looking at showers 40% Monday and 50% Monday night. Clear Tuesday and Tuesday night. And then 30% chance of showers Wednesday evening. And then showers are likely Wednesday night. A 50% chance of showers on Thursday. High of only 61. That's the high. Thursday night, 40% chance of rain. 43, that's cool. And then Friday, 30% chance of showers. Sunny with 58. Yeah, 58's the high. We got a low Monday night of 51. We got a high Friday of 58. Yeah, so we've got rain to deal with next week. And because of that, we have been really trying to put some emphasis on our outside work in the takedown of the building that we're working on. I'll tell you about that coming up. 22nd day of October. Listener's portion today being sponsored by faithful listeners in honor of their salvation and in thankfulness for all God has done for them. They're thankful for their 2 children and 6 grandchildren. They're also thankful for a godly Christian heritage and the ministry of Anchor Broadcasting. We'd like to say thank you to these anonymous sponsors. Appreciate them sponsoring the general budget here today at AM 720. And then 94.9 FM and the network is being sponsored by the same faithful listeners in honor of their salvation and thankfulness for all God's done for them. They're thankful for their 2 children and 6 grandchildren. They're also thankful for a godly Christian heritage and the ministry of Anchor Broadcasting. May I say thank you to whoever this was. We appreciate you. God bless you. 34 days until Thanksgiving. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Yeah. Garrett Jordan celebrating today on the 22nd. Ross Dodson is as well. And Miss Peggy Owens celebrating today. So congratulations going out to her. Okay. 37 is what we put down. Okay. I guess that was yesterday morning. So that was because that was the low within 24 hours. And then 53 was what we read this morning. Yeah. And then we had a high yesterday of 76. Didn't get there today. No, not quite after that rain came through. And so let's see who in all in the world's with us. And so we've got Brandon, Florida, Brevard, Fort Mill, Freeport, Maine, Greer, Greenville, Hendersonville, Homer, Alaska, Houston, Johnson City, Joplin, Kiez, Mecklenburg, Germany, Lancaster. We've got Lenore, Lexington, Miami, Middletown, New York, Nassau, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Good to see our friends in Canada back on. Plymouth, Spartanburg, Springdale, Silva. A lot of unknowns. Europe is with us this afternoon. Weaverville, North Carolina, and West Berlin, New Jersey, rounding it out. And I see the UK lit up. Okay, there they are, but it doesn't tell me where. So it doesn't tell me much about Europe. I see Germany, and so we got England, Germany, and some other part of Europe, but it won't tell me where. So anyway, glad to have all of you with us today. And then there are those who are watching that are part of the visual radio. Appreciate Miss Kathy, Vanny in the Philippines, Sherman, and congratulations to Sherman and Roseanne Middleton. 46 years by God's grace. Thank you. God bless you. Happy, many happy more. Many happy more. And so, and Sherman says, so sorry for Brother Coates. I know. Miss Ann is watching. Tammy and Jeanette are watching in Kotzebue, Alaska. All right. Out in the big city of Kotzebue. They've come out from the village there for something. Joseph is on board in Arden. Thank you. Glad to see you. Appreciate you being with us. We just got word of a grandmother's passing. Just got word and wanting to pray for that family. And so that has just happened. And so our hearts go out to that, okay? Also, our hearts go out to Brother Paul Raines, accidental shooting. And I may have misspoke yesterday. I said a hunting accident. I think I may have misspoke. I think it was just an accidental shooting and a tragedy. And 18-year-old granddaughter. And so please remember that family. Would you do that? Please remember that family. Yeah, for sure. All right. And all right. If you're traveling in Asheville on Page Avenue, there's been a diesel fuel spill, and it has closed the 15th block of Page Avenue, according to the Asheville Fire Department. So be on the lookout for that. Also, if you're traveling this coming next week, if you use I-26 at night, they're going to be closing it on Tuesday. So I think it's just Tuesday, looks like. And so what you do is they're going to be closing off 26 at exit 44 and to U.S. 25 South onto Hendersonville and U.S. 176 East to Upward Road to rejoin I-26. Okay, and so the marked westbound detour traffic off I-26 at exit 49 to U.S. 464 West, then 25 North to rejoin I-26. And they're taking out the old Naples Bridge. That's what they're doing. They're taking that out. So, yeah, they've been having to do that, but that's going to be a night closure. It closes no earlier than 8 o'clock at night, and it will be no later than 6 a.m. the next morning. Okay. All right. Well, again, appreciate you being with us. Appreciate the Lord's mercy. We have had a good work day today, and I know not everybody's interested in this, but it's been our life. Yeah, we've got, 50, 60, let's see, 10 hours, we got 50 hours thus far this week. We've put in 50 hours, and if you haven't heard, we were given a building, a very valuable building. And through all the engineering and the architects and all the permitting and everything, we have been permitted to take it down. So we're in the process of deconstructing a building, which means that you you take every nail out and you save everything. And it's a process. But we've got a lot accomplished this week. We started on Monday. And I appreciate a crew from Mount Sinai that came up. And I appreciate Rick and Adam. They came in today. They have really got a lot to done. I really appreciate them. Of course, they work in that type stuff. They do mechanical, like heating and air and things like that. And so they got a lot done today. Yesterday, I was a little bit panicked. Today, I feel a little better about it. But I can tell you that we are working tomorrow. And I say we, I can't. But the crew will work tomorrow. And so for all of our folk who would like to, we'll leave the church at 8 o'clock. All right, leave the church at 8. Convoy up each morning takes 1 hour and to get there, and we'll begin work shortly thereafter. And so at this point, most all the work is low level, so it's all on the ground. Most everything requires hammers and things like that. Most of it is we're taking off. One of the things we run into was we had planned on trying to save the masonite, or the masonite, I guess it's, what do you call it? I call it hardy board. I don't know what it's really called, but it's the sheetrock. No, wait a minute, it's not sheetrock. It's like concrete siding. It's a concrete board that's stamped, and it kind of looks like wood, got a wood grain on it. Now, that stuff's, I mean, it's good stuff. And it you just have to paint it occasionally, and it's good stuff. People put on their house, it's good for a long time. It's impervious to fire. It's impervious to, you know, water, termites. I mean, none of that stuff will bother. Well, this whole building was done in it, and a lot of it, and it was a very expensive thing. But what they did, I've never seen this done before. They face nailed it. And so when I was calculating taking it off, I'm thinking we can save it because we're going to be able to take the top one off. You go down there behind it with a little J-hook on a vibratory, and you pull it up and cut that nail. And you can save it, and then you hide, that nail hole hides by because it's overlapped. So you hide that. What do you do when you face nail it? We tried everything. And we finally give up on it because it's coming apart in pieces, and it leaves these big holes. And so it's too late. We've all got it down, got most of it down. And we've had to bring it out in little pieces and haul it off in dump trucks. But that's okay. We're going to go back with a wood siding, and it's going to look like an old barn when we're done. We're going to go back with an old barn-type motif. That's the plan. And so we'll have that on the outside. And so anyway, we've got a lot accomplished. But for those that like to work in the morning, the convoy leaves here at 8 o'clock. And if you're not going with us, you need to let us know, because there is a gate and it is locked, and it will be locked behind us. And so you have to go with us or let us know you're coming, because there's no other way to get in, okay? Road is in pretty rough shape. Small low car will not go in there. Won't do it. So it's dry enough that you can get in and out with a two-wheel drive, but they drag. If you got something that's not high profile, they drag. They've been hauling, and so the dump trucks have got it routed out. There was one hole today. I would say it was at least 2 feet deep on one side, and it was at least 2 feet deep because I drive a Denali Suburban, and it drug the bottom. So it's at least 2 feet deep. Yeah, and as the rain starts this coming week, it's going to be rough. It's going to be real rough. There is another way in. You can come in the back way, but the front way is shorter, so we'll see. Somebody's asking, 9724 is asking, said, I missed who died in Brian's family. Brian's sister, Krista, 31 years old, mother of two, married and out, lives in Alabama, and went to school, I believe I'm right, went to school at Tabernacle in Greenville. And we're just all very shocked and very, very saddened with this COVID death, 31 years old. Yeah, very sad. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here this afternoon. And again, thank God for His mercy, and appreciate how the Lord has helped us. And again, all the things the Lord's doing, He's doing some things. And we are very grateful and very thankful for all the ways the Lord has blessed us this week, and thankful for how God has overruled in a number of ways. And we say to God be the glory. Again, great things He hath done. And I was scrolling through. I had several things that I was wanting to share with you this afternoon. And I guess financially, everybody wants to be a millionaire, right? Is that everybody's goal, be a millionaire? Well, $1 million won't do what it once did. You know what I'm saying? $1 million is not as much as it once was, that's for sure. Back in the day, a millionaire had it made forever. But the truth of the matter is that it depends on where you live, how long it's going to last you. As far as what it's going to cost, what it costs to live, how long you can live. So let me just kind of show you what I'm talking about. If, for instance, if you live in Memphis, Tennessee, okay, you live in Memphis, Tennessee, if you had $1 million and it was invested and you were spending on the principal, okay, if you were... If you figure using the banking rates that we have now, okay, how long would $1 million last you? If you didn't have any other income, how long would it last you? Well, that's it's very interesting. If you had $1 million, you could live 45 years, okay? 45 years. Now, this includes you getting Social Security, okay? So, but if you're dipping into your savings and you had $1 million, you could live 45 years. And somebody said, well, 45 years, that's a long time. Well, it is. And you could live your life out pretty much. That's what they're figuring. But wait, if it depends on where you live. Yeah, it really depends on where you live. For instance, if you live in Detroit, Michigan, now suddenly that drops to 35 years because the cost of living is so high. If you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, then you could live 29 years on $1 million. Again, using your Social Security based on the cost of living in these places. If you live in Raleigh, 28 years. If you live in Atlanta, 26 years, based on the cost of living. If you live in New York City, you're going to live 12 years in New York City. $1 million, you'd run through $1 million in 12 years. So if you retire at 65, time you're 77, if you was a millionaire, at the end of 77, you'd be broke. Yeah, living in New York. I'm serious. But it's not the worst. San Jose, California is more expensive than New York City. You could only live for 10.8 years on $1 million in San Jose. You'd have to draw out like $92,000 a year out of your savings just to survive. But where do you think the most expensive place at all to live is? Where do you think it's at? Where do you think the most expensive town in America is to live? Anybody know? San Francisco. If you had $1 million, look at this. If you retire at 65 and you have saved $1 million, it'll all be gone before you turn on your 74th birthday. Before you turn 74, you'll be flat broke. 8.3 years is all $1 million is going to last in San Francisco. San Francisco is almost six times more expensive. Housing is almost six times more expensive. Yeah. And so unbelievable. So $1 million doesn't last like it used to. And so does that mean everybody in San Francisco is going to move to Memphis? Maybe. I don't know. In Memphis, the housing costs are like 2.5 times lower than the national average, along with other things. So, so I said, well, preacher, I ain't going to have $1 million. Well, that's the problem. So how long can I live if I don't have $1 million? Well, you kind of use the formula. So, I mean, think about it. I mean, we just do plain math. If you only had $500,000 saved, you could only live 4 years in San Francisco and you'd be broke. If you only had $250,000 saved, you could only live 2 years in San Francisco and you'd be broke. $250,000. You'd be broke in 2 years. And that's in addition to the average Social Security payment. That's drawing it out of your savings. I don't know. That's why I said $1 million is not what it used to be. It sounds. And here's something else you might want to know. That you would think, okay, everybody says, okay, everything's cheaper in the South, right? Ain't that what everybody says? Everybody's leaving, all these places, and they're coming south. Everybody's coming south. Everybody's buying in the south. Home prices here, have gone crazy. Everybody's coming to the south. You know what it's done? We're no longer the most desirable region in America. Mm-mm. Not at all. You know where the most desirable place to live? Well, let's start at the bottom and go up, okay? The average out west, the whole western United States, 17 years is how long $1 million will last you. Next to the bottom, the west is the worst. Next to that, 22.9 years. That's the average length you could live in the Northeast. Guess who just behind that? The Southeast. Only lived 29.2 years. In the Southwest, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Oklahoma, 31.2 years. But here's what's amazing. The cheapest place to live in America is the Midwest. It is now. 34.8 years. So, the goodbye that the South was has gone goodbye. It's no longer that. And it lists 50 cities. There's a whole list of cities here that it lists. 50 cities. And so the very best one, Memphis, Tennessee, you can live 45.3 years on $1 million in Memphis. The very worst, San Francisco, California, 8.3 years, and you'd blow through a million in 8.3 years. Wow. Yeah, wow. All right, well, let me change gears if I can and share a couple other things with you. We are, again, appreciate all the Lord has done, all the ways the Lord's helping us, all the things the Lord continues to do. We have had recently some folks drop by and give a nice offering, and considerable offering, and they say, use it where it's needed the most. And when they do things like that, somebody said, well, how do you handle that? Well, I tell you what it does, it causes us to double down, on being stewards with that. Because if somebody comes in and gives, several thousand dollars, the first thing I had, they said, use it where it's needed the most. And I start through my head, I start saying, okay, now where do we need that the most? Do we need that at the warehouse? Do we need that in disaster? Do we need that in the radio? Do we need that? Where do we need that? Do we need it in missions? Do we need it in home missions, foreign missions? Where do we need that? Do we need that in the feeding programs? Where do we need that? We need it in the children's feeding. Where do we need that? Do we need it in Venezuela? We've got people starving in Venezuela. And so I just say it this way. You humble me when you come in and do that. All of us. It's not just me. You humble all of us when you do that. And simply meaning this, that when someone doesn't have a designation, they just come and said, use it for the ministry. Use it where you need it. It is it brings a big responsibility on our shoulders. And I just want to say it this way. We don't take that lightly. And it's not, somebody dropped by and gave so many $1,000. Oh, well, it's no. That ain't it at all. I can't say that I stop and get down the floor, but there's rarely a time I get the text or phone call. We just had a gift come in that I don't thank God immediately for that. Just immediately for that. And what I've seen is that sometimes when it comes in, I'm not sure where it's supposed to go. And then the next day or the day after, there'll be a very pressing need, and oftentimes the amount will be the same. It's happened more than once. I've seen God supply for a need before it was ever made known to us. God put it on somebody else's heart. What amazes me is that you have people that are that sensitive to the Lord that I don't even know that there's a need, and yet they give it by faith because God's touched their heart to do something, and they give it, and I'm standing here going, all right, Lord, what you got in mind for this one? And I don't know a thing. And then sure enough, there'll be a phone call, or there'll be a missions letter, or there'll be a need rise up and say, okay, right, here's what we need. That's happened so many times. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Just absolutely happened so many times. We bless the Lord for that, and we give Him glory that He has provided the needs so many times. Somebody said that God's seldom early but never late. Well, that's a good saying. But I've seen God be early several times. In the not too distant past, I've seen God do that. And I'm just thrilled by it. I really am amazed. Are there still needs? Oh, of course. Yeah, there's needs. There's all kind of needs. We have a number of needs. And we're of course always in the islands. We're always working, always in the in Asia. We always have needs there. A while back we bought a whole series of motorcycles and a rickshaw. There's still some need for some motorbikes for the young preachers. There's still that need. And that's kind of an ongoing thing. Vehicles are a big deal. Vehicle cost a lot of money over there in their money. Here's something I found out. They can, now like in Venezuela, they can't even eat. But in most third world countries, that's the way they survive is that they have, I mean, they make enough to eat, but that's all they make. They just subsistence living. They just make enough to eat. That's all. And when it comes to land, when it comes to buildings, in a lot of the third world countries, they cost as much as it does here in American dollars. Cost you just as much there as it does here. And you know what it costs here. The bottom line is, if these churches were to save their money for a lifetime, they probably wouldn't save enough to buy a piece of land. So, and not in every case, but in some cases, we will step in and help with land. We like doing matching funds. We like that, doing that, so that they've got some skin in the game. And that they've got skin in the game. They are, you know, they've got a sacrifice on their part, and then we're helping. We like doing that. Buildings, they're more expensive. Buildings are a lot harder to do. They're even more expensive. And again, buildings are so much, they're as much as they are here in so many cases. So a lot of times that the buildings are native material. But if we can get a piece of land, chances are that church will survive. But if you rent a storefront, and that's all you have is a storefront, and you are, you know, you got chairs and a PA system, when something happens, when trouble comes, it's too easy just to quit paying the rent and sell the chairs, give them away, give away the hymn books. I mean, I'm serious. I've seen that happen so many times. Whereas many of the churches that even in our area, the reason they're still surviving today is because they got a land and a building. They got a place. That's why they're still open. If they were making payments, or if they didn't have, you know, if they were renting, we wouldn't be around right now. So we find that in the third world to be even more true. And so, yeah, there's a great need. Sure is. Okay. So thank you for that. And thank you for, praying, and thank you for giving. If right now there are needs in probably the Best Buy on the planet that I know of, if I'm talking about dollar for dollar, is still Venezuela. We can buy, our dollar has so much buying power down there, we can buy stuff cheap. Oh my goodness. We bought a whole camp for $6,000. We got 10 acres with a wall around it for $2,500. Had fruit trees on it. Had a wall around 10 acres for $2,500. So we've bought 13 properties in Venezuela so far. And you say, you have. And we have attorneys there. And we forward everything through the attorneys. And we use licensed churches that the government cannot shut down. In other words, they're licensed, and it would be hard for them to shut them down. And so the properties always belong to a licensed, bona fide church. Even though it may be a mission work, we still need to get it in the name of a bona fide church, because the communists will take it away from us. And so if they start taking land from the Baptist church, they're going to have to take land from the Catholic church, and the Catholic's not going to put up with that. They won't put up with that. Jesuits will knock a knot on their head, so they don't do that. So they leave it alone, but if they can get you in a tight spot where it's in somebody's name or in something that's not recognized, they can seize it and will. So we're very careful about what we do and make sure our titles are clean and clear and all the things. So a small investment can reap some long-term benefits. Some of our churches are our storefront. Some of them are renting. If they had an opportunity to buy a house, to buy a piece of property and renovate it, it'd be awesome. So how many churches? Well, I've got 18 churches. I've got 15 that I know personally. Okay. I've got three more that are part of the fellowship, but I've never met these guys personally. But overall, there are over 60 more churches that are a part of our overall fellowship. It's almost 80 churches in the country of Venezuela. In the country of Bolivia, we are, our name, Anchor Baptist Missions International, our name in Bolivia is Tabernacle. Tabernacle Baptist Missions Bolivia. That's our name there. We have 22 churches under that ministry. And then the director of Maranatha Baptist Missions is a member of our board, and there are 66 churches there. So in combination, we have 84 churches in the country of Bolivia that are a part of ABMI. And so, you know, God's raised that up. God's done that. In the Philippines, 22, I believe it is. I believe there's 22 churches there. And in India, it's, I believe, 42. I believe I'm right. Now, some of those churches are meeting under trees. They have nothing indoors. They have nothing. But India is one of those places that's expensive. It's expensive to build. It's expensive to buy land. It's very expensive. And it's not just you go buy it. You have to get permission to buy it. You have to get them to permission to let you build a church on it. If you don't get permission, you can't build a church on it. So typically, we have to do something for the community. So what we have found that really works, because India is in like a 7-year drought, and all of the shallow wells are dry. So they're carrying water for miles. So what we found is for about $2,000, we can bring in a drilling rig and drill a deep well and put a pump in it and put power to it. So they're past now, they're digging them so deep you can't use a hand pump anymore, so you have to put electric pumps in them. And you have to have a place to do it. So typically, if you tell the mayor, or I forgot what they're called, there's a class of kind of like the leaders, kind of left over from some of the class days. I'm not sure what it's called. But if you get permission from them, if the town owns land, or if there's some kind of piece of land, you know, that if they'll let you put a well on it, you tell them what you're going to do. Sometimes they'll let you put it on, put it on a lot. Sometimes they will give us the lot and give us permission to build a church if we will drill the well. Brother Whittemore said, you ought to see those ladies from India, all of their, you know, their scarves on and all dressed so beautifully. You'll see them. Said they all brought their pans, the big old shiny dish pans, to get water, because they've been carrying it from a river and it's muddy. And there's going to be fresh water. So they had a dedication and read the scripture, John 4, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but drink of the water that I give you shall never thirst. And they flipped the switch and turned the electric power on, and they had it crooked. So in other words, it come up out of the well and then it turned right angle. And it was spraying out in the street like a fire hydrant. They flipped that thing on. And it was so precious. That clear water was, cold clear water was so precious, the women panicked because they thought it was spilling in the streets. And so they run in front of this thing trying to fill their pans. Well, you can imagine trying to fill a pan out of like a fire hydrant, you know. They're getting soaked and there's not much water going into pan. And they're just squealing. I mean, they are just squealing because of it. And it finally is explained to them. It'll be okay. Okay, we'll finish the plumbing, and yeah, we'll get it where it's not so much force on it. But they left it open like that just to show, like a 2-inch pipe, to show that there's plenty of water. But they were panicked that all that water was going on the ground, and they had to catch it right quick, when in fact they could have all they wanted from that fourth. Isn't that just like the Lord Jesus? I mean, once you do business with him, it's not just a flash in the pan. It's not just a drink, you know, one little drink, and then you got to go thirsty again. No, no. There's a fresh drink at the fountain of God every day. There's a fresh drink of water. There's a fresh drink in the presence of God. I mean, he gives and he forgives on a daily basis. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. What a blessing. We give God the glory. We do. And so thank you for being here this afternoon. And thank God again for his goodness and grace. Yeah. All right. Well, I got to go. And we've got the grandkids. And so we're looking forward to the weekend. I got another project going. We're working, but it's still got a little switch off. Yeah. And so, yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you for being on board. Please pray for Brian Coates' family and the loss of his sister, Krista, 31 years old, died of COVID. Brother Paul Raines, his family, his 18-year-old granddaughter, died of an accidental gunshot. Please remember a grandmother that just passed in that family. Remember them, if you will, please. And then ask that you would pray for others who are still sick with COVID, people still catching it, and the people very sick. Reggie's had a good week. We give God the glory for that. He's doing better. He's doing better. So we're thankful for that. And so, yeah, grateful for that. All right, let's seek the Lord together if we can. Father, we pray for that one that may be listening to the sound of my voice. And Lord, they're thirsty. And Lord, they've been drinking out of the cisterns of this world. And Lord, all that gets muddy water, a bad taste in their mouth, and a hangover to go with it the next day. Lord, I'm asking and praying that they would find that fountain of living water. And Lord, that they would thirst no more. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are that cold drink of water in a dry and thirsty land. Father, help us to be found faithful. Thank you for these that trust us, these that invest in what you're doing here. We thank you for that. We don't take it a small thing. We don't take it a light thing. Lord, may we ever be even more diligent that we do right with what you provide. I pray for the continued work over the weekend on the building and the takedown, the deconstruction of the dining hall as we move it and bring it to this property. Pray, Lord, for all the workers. Keep them safe. Pray, Lord, you'd help us on our timeline, Lord. We've only got a few days left, and we pray, Lord, that you'd bless the efforts to get that thing down. Lord, may your will be done, and Lord, may lives be changed. Thank you for saving souls, and thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're still in business and still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Lord, to you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, have a great weekend.